Ah, yes. It's the movie reviews every Saturday night. We start around 10:30, and we'll take your phone calls if you got a question about a movie or you saw something and you want to talk about it. 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720 as well. Follow us on Facebook. Best way to stay connected, and we're getting close to hitting 9,500 fans on our Facebook page. So like us, facebook.com/NickDShow. Colin Suter and Eric Childress always join me for the movie reviews. Colin, welcome back.
Hello.
And Eric, welcome back.
Hello.
All right, we were doing the on-demand movies. You know, this has become a very popular way to see movies now, movies that aren't even in the theaters. You know, sometimes it's the same day that they're in theaters. You can watch them on-demand. And we were going through the list. Eric, tell me about The Right Kind of Wrong, because I've read the book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, it is a story of a dishwasher who falls in love with another woman, specifically a bride, on her wedding day.
Yep.
Yeah. So is there more to it than that? I have not seen the film.
There is, but it's listen, I just put it to you this way. Tim Sandlin is the author, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's a terrific writer. One of my favorites, in fact. And okay. they've tried to make a couple of movies out of his books, and they screwed them both up.
Which ones?
Skipped Parts, which is part of a trilogy that he wrote. And he had a book called Sorrow Floats. They made a TV movie out of it called Floating Away. This is the current one. Is The Right Kind of Wrong. I haven't seen this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obviously curious because I think Sandlin's a really great writer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what to make of it. Because they've really screwed up. this is one of those deals where it's like, oh God. I mean, you see the movies; they're not representative of what a great writer this guy is.
And well, Ryan Kwanten from True Blood is the star,
right,
of the film, and
right,
it was directed by Jeremiah Chishek.
Yeah,
who got a very interesting filmography. Directed Christmas Vacation.
That's the first one that always pops into my head.
Absolutely.
And didn't he do like a John Hughes thing too?
He did.
Well, that's
in June.
He did what?
He did Benny and June.
Oh, good
yeah.
Lord.
And Diabolique, the remake.
Oh, God.
And the Avengers. Not the Joss Whedon one.
Yeah.
Yes, the Emma Peel one.
Actually, I got curious while we were on break, and I was looking at his filmography, because I was curious. Like, I haven't seen him since The Avengers, and reading his bio, he's got some very interesting things to say about the making of that movie and how it all went wrong.
Oh,
and
really?
Same with Diabolique. Yeah, he's pretty open about his failures. So,
wow.
So interesting little read on
his
page.
Am I the only one that hated Benny and June?
No, I think a lot of people hated Benny and June.
Oh.
I didn't hate it when it came out. I'd probably hate it today because, as I've said before, movies about cute mental patients make me nuts. Yeah. So,
I hated it. I hated that movie. I remember when it came out and that damn, I would walk 500, like, shut up.
That's that song.
Oh, and the thing is, I love Mary Stuart Masterson so much,
mm-hmm,
but like that movie makes me so crazy.
Anyway,
all right. Well, there. We'll find. I'm probably going to order this Right Kind of Wrong, and I'll let you guys know about it.
Okay.
All right, and then I'm looking at this next one.
Yeah, you are.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, a little bit of false advertising on that poster there. You want to tell us who's front and center?
Well,
there,
you know, that would be Van Damme, Jean-Claude
Van
Damme. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a story of a corporate company, something, and they take one of these sort of morale building trips to the jungle,
uh-huh,
to build the team morale and all this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme plays their guide, basically. And when their helicopter pilot or their pilot ends up dead, mauled by a tiger, I believe, they're trapped there. And it kind of turns into a Lord of the Flies type thing of comedic battle for survival between Gilmore Girls' Adam Brody and really funny Rob Hubel. Not so much funny in this movie. It's a movie that has moments. It's, you know, Kristen Schaal is in it.
She's great.
Yeah, she's got a couple really funny bits in the movie. And I like this Jean-Claude Van Damme. I like this self-aware Van Damme.
Yeah.
And so he's not in it that much. He's in the beginning and he pops up a bit at the end. So basically in the middle you have no Van Damme. But the stuff with him is kind of funny. It's not a very good movie at all. They really miss a lot of opportunities with the material. I really can't recommend it, but it does have a couple moments.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the jungle with Van Damme. All right. All right. Let's move on to the stuff that is in theaters now. By the way, I'm surprised, Eric, that you didn't see 24 Exposures. I thought for sure you would.
I haven't gotten to it. I had it, and I hadn't had time to see it.
Yeah.
I was too busy seeing Welcome to the Jungle.
That's Joe Swanberg's new movie.
Yeah.
Now, how many movies does he make a year? 50?
72.
Yeah.
72.
My God. And then the other guys that are in it wrote and directed You're Next.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah. These guys just hang out all the time, I guess.
Yeah, they're editing one movie, they're already directing the next one. So
I've heard bad things about...
They're editing the movie in the room that they're directing the next movie.
Yeah, I've heard bad things about 24 Exposures, though. It hasn't been getting good reviews.
Yeah, I haven't heard this is one of his better ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right, well, Colin.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? Tell us about the Monuments Men.
All right. Well, this is the new film directed by and starring George Clooney, and it's a period piece, a World War II adventure, I guess you'd call it, or drama. And he plays an officer and museum curator tasked with going into Nazi Germany and rescuing stolen works of art before it's all destroyed. Very important pieces, too. So he rounds up, other such individuals to help him with the job, including characters played by Bill Murray, Bob Balaban, John Goodman, and Matt Damon, among others. And they get some people, other people to help them, people on the inside, including a Jewish woman played by, Cate Blanchett. And, of course, the war is still going on, and this is basically a treasure hunt. And these guys, have to avoid landmines, enemy fire, other kinds of Trojan horse-type deals. Not an easy task, but for these guys who, know their art history, it's, worth the risk to save these pieces of our humanity, before they become destroyed. And that's basically the main thesis of the film, and it is reiterated time and time again through very, lengthy, preachy monologues, most of which are spoken by Clooney himself, who co-wrote the script with his usual collaborator, Grant Heslov.
Star of Congo.
Yep.
Co-star of True Lies. Thank you very much.
Right. There you go. My problem with Clooney's films, though, as a director and co-writer, is that he spends a lot of time laying on his messages very thick, and there's really never anything to argue against. It's like, oh, of course, art is important and should be preserved and saved, if at all possible. I often feel like I'm sort of being talked down to sometimes when I'm watching his films. Like, yeah, of course. McCarthyism is bad. Yes, politics and the media are co-conspirators. I know where you're coming from. Why do I need the history lesson and why preach to the choir so much? And that's the problem with this film too. The other problem with Monuments Men is that it has a great cast, but not a lot of great memorable characters for them to play. Nobody looks very inspired here, and nobody seems to really stand for anything except as a collective mouthpiece for, Clooney's message. It's not a bad film. It is an interesting footnote in World War II history. There are some good moments in it, and the cast is, certainly easy to watch, but it's really nothing to get excited about, and so I can't really recommend it.
Okay. And Eric?
Yeah, I actually lean a little closer to bad on this one. I think, as Colin sort of rightfully pointed out, this is kind of Clooney at his most pretentious in a way. The movie is very preachy, yet it sets itself up like it's going to be sort of a, you know, a really sort of old-fashioned World War II adventure story. Big cast, big mission, all that kind of stuff. And it just looks like it's going to be fun. But it seemed like Clooney was self-aware of that and recognized, like, oh, we're being a little too Hogan's Heroes here. So let's put in this entire sequence where we're going to have a lot of death around us. You know, some of these guys aren't going to make it. We're going to comment on the people that are dying around them while they're looking for this art. And it's like, you know, Private Ryan is standing right there. Like, we understand, we've seen Saving Private Ryan. We get that message that, you know, is one thing worth the cost of thousands and all this kind of stuff. And if you're going to play the game that, you know, the entire movie, this entire arc of the movie that, you know, is one life worth a painting and all this kind of stuff, and they give you the answer at the end. You have to do more than just sort of go like, oh, look, a Picasso, oh, look, a Rembrandt. You know, you have to, if you have all these characters or all these actors playing all these characters with all their sort of expertise, it'd be good to have let them show a little of their expertise. You know, I wouldn't mind a little more pretentiousness if they were discussing art or explaining why this painting is so important or this sculpture is so important and that kind of stuff. Like Colin says, like these really great actors, you're really just sort of sitting there going like, oh, look, there's John Goodman. Oh, look, there's Bill Murray. And none of them really blend in. I mean, Clooney goes from his Siriana character in his first scene and immediately becomes Danny Ocean in the next one. I think this movie is a mess. I think it's over-edited at times. I think there's way too many fade-outs and stuff like that. Even the big suspenseful scene where someone steps on a landmine, they sort of fast-forward that through that a little too much, and even that's played for laughs. I think this movie's a mess, and I don't recommend it at all.
I was so disappointed by this movie because, well, first of all, now I understand why they delayed it.
Yep.
And I totally understand now why they released it in February. So yep. I remember when they first said they were going to delay it, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Because, you know, Clooney is usually, like, nominated for all kinds of Oscars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case with this movie. This is such a great premise and such a great idea, you know, and a story that nobody has ever told. And, you know, he gets this, because he's George Clooney, he gets this remarkable cast, but then does nothing with the premise. It's not exciting. I wanted it to be like a rip-roaring sort of a, you know, Dirty Dozen kind of a thing, you know? And it's not at all, man. I mean, it's dull, and there's tons and tons of preachiness throughout this movie. And like you guys said, you know, there's not a lot for these amazing actors to do at all. And I agree with you, Eric. I think it's a sloppily made film. It's certainly the worst movie that Clooney's ever directed. I just thought it was a massive waste of a massive waste of a phenomenal, you know, setup. What could have been a rip roaring adventure, and it's certainly a waste of enormously talented actors who don't have much to do in this movie at all. So, yeah, I was really, really disappointed. I'm leaning towards Eric than with Colin. I was very, very disappointed by this movie. So, I will also say this, that of the two major movies, because I've only seen the two big ones, the absolute opposite of what I thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Happened.
Yeah.
So
we'll get to that.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
man. It was one of those weeks.
It was one of those weeks, man. It was like the one movie that I expected to be really bad wasn't, and the one movie that I expected to be really good wasn't. So, all right, guys, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric and Colin, and we'll talk more about movies coming up. Eric will tell us all about Vampire Academy. He actually did see it. So we'll talk about Vampire Academy. And if there's a couple of other movies that we, because we weren't on last week, so maybe I'll have Eric and Colin mention some movies that they saw, maybe, and we'll talk about that. Also, there's a thing happening next Tuesday that we want to talk about as well. Order home delivery of Icelandic glacial natural spring water through Chicago Tribune and save 31% off regular price. Go to buyicelandicwater.com or call 312-222-6548. Yes, it's movie reviews, and they continue right here on 720 WGN. Phone number is 312-981-7200. If you'd like to call in with your questions or comments about movies, 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720 and follow us at facebook.com/NickDShow. And Colin and Eric, welcome back, guys.
Hello.
All right, Eric, before we break for the news, I want you to plug the thing that's happening next Tuesday.
Yes. Well, the Chicago Film Critics Association is starting up a new screening series in my neck of the woods, actually, right at the Elk Grove Classic Cinemas, right off of Arlington Heights Road. This once a month, the second Tuesday of the month, not to interfere with your staked out claim.
Yep.
We've made sure of that.
Okay. Although next month we're doing it on the second.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We'll plug both events.
Yeah, we can plug them both.
Anyway, but on Tuesday, February 11th, I will be hosting two screenings, actually, of Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock at the Elk Grove Cinema. I will be introducing the film. We will get to watch the film in a beautiful new DCP print. And then afterwards, I will be doing a Q&A and a discussion of the movie with people who attend. It's only $5 to attend, and they have the best popcorn in the world there.
Yeah.
Please come and show up and support this event, because it's going to be a monthly one, and we're hoping to draw a big crowd.
All right, that's great, man. You can't, if you're starting off with Rear Window, man.
It's my favorite Hitchcock film.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mine is Vertigo, but Rear Window is right up there, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great movie. I just remember the first time I saw Rear Window, I just remember just how freaked out I got because Jimmy Stewart was so scared watching her.
Oh, that's one of the scariest moments as a kid I ever had.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
It was the first time I saw it. I just this incredible sense of anxiety just swept over me. I was like, oh, Jimmy, don't be so upset, Jimmy.
It's my favorite scene in that movie, actually.
Yeah, it's a great film. A great, great, great film. And a great chance to see it for only $5 on the big screen. That's very cool. All right, and that's next Tuesday. All right, Eric, hang on.
Yep.
I don't know what the hell happened to Colin, but we lost him. Colin, call back. 312-981-7200. Quick break. We've got the news coming up next, and then we'll get back to reviewing movies. We got Vampire Academy and the Lego Movie to review. And Colin, call back unless the phones are screwed up again. I have no idea what's going on. All right, we'll take a quick break here on WGN. It's movie review time, and we're reviewing the movies, and we're having trouble with the phones, which is fantastic. So we've got Eric, but we don't have Colin. Are we still Dan? What's happening with what's the latest? Should we have Colin call in or?
Yeah, I'm gonna have Colin try to call in on one of the other lines, because it's only the listener the guest call in lines that we're having trouble with, because Eric's on the hotline, he's fine.
All right.
So if we could, I'm going to get him a different number.
Yeah,
if
give,
we can text
give
him.
Colin, give Colin, give. You want me to text him the number?
Yeah, will you?
Yeah, I'll do that right now. This is fantastic behind the scenes stuff here.
All right. Live radio for you, ladies
That's
and gentlemen.
Right. All right.
Hotline reminded me of the Silvers. Didn't they do Hotline?
I don't know.
Hotline. Wait, okay. Are you wearing your glasses? Make sure you hit the right buttons.
Right. I sent him I just texted him the number, so hopefully he will be calling in and we can get ready. Meanwhile, let's bring Eric in. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
This is fantastic.
Isn't it, though?
Hey, here's a little news that I just read on the intranets.
Okay.
From the AV Club, so that's a good source.
Mm-hmm.
James Franco is going to direct the movie version of the disaster artist Greg Sestero's book about making The Room.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a good fit.
Yeah. Here's what it says. In the clash of the supremely self-aware and the completely inscrutable, James Franco will direct a film about the making of The Room, the worst movie of all time that we can't stop watching. Deadline is reporting that Franco's company has optioned book and life rights to the disaster artist, Greg Sestero's book, which, by the way, is fantastic.
Mm, I've heard.
It's about the making of the experience of filming and cohabitating with its director, producer, financer, star, Tommy Wiseau. Seth Rogen's company will co-produce. Though there is no word yet on casting. Prediction, after a worldwide search for an actor that can believably portray total confidence, cluelessness, and vague foreignness, Franco will grudgingly settle on himself for the lead role, is what they're saying. That's a, you know.
Okay.
But, he's, obviously this is just a joke, and he says that
right.
Wiseau will make a cameo appearance as the flower shop owner. It will take 17 shooting days for him to nail his few lines. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't read the book. I haven't even seen the movie.
Oh, no, come on.
I haven't. I swear I haven't.
Oh, my God, man. You have to see The Room.
Yeah.
You have to, man. All right, let's see if we can get Colin here. Kyle, now we just lost Eric. Are you there, Colin?
The Room. I've read the book.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Can you believe that, James? Colin, call back. Or, I'm sorry, Eric, call back.
You mean Eric.
Eric, call back. All right? What is going on, man?
Yeah, I read about that today, and I thought, well, Frank would be good to play Tommy, I think.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, he could pull it off.
Sure.
I don't know what he'd be like as a director, but, I mean, it's the kind of whacked-out role that's, like, perfect, man.
Oh, that's especially following it up after that performance he gave last year, man.
Sure.
All right, let's see if we can get Eric. Eric?
Hello.
Oh, my God. We're all here. Oh, it's fantastic. Colin is still here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Except that we can't.
Nobody move.
We can't.
Don't touch your phone. Everybody hold still.
All right. It reminds me of like one of my favorite line readings in A Christmas Story is.
I knew you were going to go there.
Is when the fuse blows and he goes, don't. Anybody move? Oh, the late, great Darren McGavin. All right. Eric, man.
Yeah.
What the hell? Vampire Academy.
Open finally.
Yeah, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when I liked Mark Waters.
Yeah.
And Daniel Waters.
And Daniel Waters.
They're not related, are they?
I don't think so.
No, I didn't think so. Daniel Waters, remember when he was the man?
Heathers.
Oh, yeah.
When Heathers came out. And I don't care. I like that Bruce Willis thing.
Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, I like Hudson Hawk. I defend that movie. I'm a backer of Hudson Hawk.
You should be.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Did he write that movie?
He did.
I know Lehman did it.
Oh, wait, no, Lehman directed that.
Lehman
That's right.
directed it.
That's right. I think Waters.
He wrote it.
Waters wrote it. Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
okay.
So, all right.
Well.
Vampire Academy.
Vampire Academy is the movie that will make Hudson Hawk look a lot better to people that hate it. So remember those movies. You know, Mark Waters did Mean Girls. Daniel Waters did Heathers. It seems like the right pairing for, a story like this. This is the next series that's trying to capitalize on the whole Twilight, Hunger Games, Harry Potter phenomenon of a series of young adult books.
This one, did you know, guys, that there are actually three kinds of vampires?
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't know that either. What? Apparently there are vampires, and vampires are half-human, half-vampires who are basically bodyguards for the Strigoi. And the Strigoi, they're the regular vampires, but they're good vampires. They're nice vampires.
Okay.
You know, they can be out in the daytime and all that kind of stuff. But then you have the Morois. See, I get this. I'm already confused with this garbage. The Morois are the nice vampires.
Oh, okay.
The Strigoi, they're the traditional vampires. They're the ones that suck human blood. They're the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Vampire Academy is where all the vampires go to basically learn Harry Potter type stuff. They learn how to do magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the vampires learn to fight so they can protect the Moroi from the Strigoi. Yeah. Yeah, I can't even believe these words are coming out of my mouth saying this. But watching this movie, okay, the movie, it stars, what's her name? Jeez.
What?
I don't even have the name in front of me.
Zoe Deutsch.
Zoe
Deutsch.
Zoe Deutsch was actually the daughter of Leia Thompson.
What?
Yeah, Leia Thompson's daughter is the star of this movie. Okay? And she's the one who's protecting her best friend, who they originally escaped from Vampire Academy so they could have their own lives, but then they're brought back to Vampire Academy, and someone is screwing with the status quo at Vampire Academy, trying to get inside her friend Lisa's head, who is the princess and promised to the throne of Vampire Academy or some stupid. And it's basically, it kind of turns into like a mid-90s Kevin Williamson, like, mystery horror movie, okay? It has that feel to it, all PG-13 fashion. And it is an absolute train wreck. It is horrible from the get-go. It wants to have that sort of that vibe that, you know, the Mean Girls and the Heathers, you know, that kind of zippy dialogue and whatnot. And it's like worse than Jennifer's Body, for God's sake. Yeah, yeah. And it's just, I mean, Gabriel Byrne is in this movie. I don't know if he's ever been worse in a movie.
Really?
Honestly, yeah.
Are you counting Stigmata? Really...
What's that?
You're counting Stigmata? Because that was pretty bad.
This is the worst movie than Stigmata.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
I knew what Stigmata was about.
Yeah. All right, look, okay, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Because we got a better movie to talk about.
Let's
do this. All right, let's see what happens if we take a break and see if we lose the guys. Hang on. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we got a good movie to talk about right here on WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. The lovely Amy Guth will host Red Eye Remix coming up at midnight. Right now we're reviewing movies. Eric Childress and Colin Suter, we're both here, I would hope. Hi.
I'm here.
All right, here we go. Colin.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Lego movie.
All right, well, this is the animated movie based on the toys that we all grew up with. And it's a story about an average guy in Lego Land, unofficially called Lego Land, who is an unremarkable sort of everyman. And his name is Emmett, voiced by Chris Pine. And he pretty much goes along with the grain of everything in this Lego metropolis. He loves the same song as everyone else. He looks forward to Taco Tuesday like everyone else. And he basically just follows the rules, or rather the instructions, like everyone else. But, of course, he's our hero and the supposed savior of this Lego Land, because the city is run by President Business, voiced by Will Ferrell, who looks suspiciously like Mitt Romney. He basically wants to glue the Lego universe together and has the means to do it, but all it takes is this prophesized savior to stop that from happening, and, well, that's Emmett. And he gets some help from those who recruited him for this mission, reluctantly recruited him, including Vitruvius, played by Morgan Freeman, who is sort of the Gandalf of the Lego world, and Wild Style, the sort of punk girl voiced by Elizabeth Banks, who's sort of the female love interest and who is currently dating Batman. So by the look of things, it would appear that this would be like another sort of crass means to make an animated movie based on something popular and then dump it into theaters in February, just as the popularity of Frozen is starting to wane a bit, which really isn't going to happen anytime soon. But this is, in fact, the first great film released in 2014. It is so fast, so funny, so jammed with jokes and characters, it's impossible, really, to catch it all in one viewing. These are from the guys who did 21 Jump Street and Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs, which I enjoyed very much. But this is a giant leap forward for these guys, who went way above and beyond the Call of Duty here. It's really a rich film to look at and to just admire on a technical level. There's so much going on in the frame, so many jokes in the background, so many gags. It reminded me of not just Pirates Band of Misfits from a couple years back, but I really do think the spirit of Who Framed Roger Rabbit is in this film. It has a little bit of Tex Avery, a little bit of Chuck Jones, little Pixar, and dozens of characters from other franchises making really hilarious cameos. And, of course, there's the third act, which takes things off to a whole other level. So this is not just for kids. This is for anyone who has ever played with toys and who just wants to have a fun at the movies again, which, you know, fun seems to be in a really short supply these days. But this is a real breath fresh air and one I can't wait to see again.
All right, Eric.
Yeah, this is not just the first great movie of the year. It's the first four-star movie of the year, and I'd be very surprised if you didn't hear me talking about this movie next December, January, on our show. Yeah, this is an achievement that I didn't see coming. You know, I thought the previews looked cute at best. I was kind of interested in the movie. And like Colin said, the movie goes to a completely whole other level. This is one of the fastest moving animated films in a great way that I've seen in some time. There's not a minute that went by where I was not laughing at something that was said, something in the foreground, something in the background. Thankfully, I was in a kind of an empty matinee theater at the time, so I was able to catch a lot of those jokes, but I'm sure I still missed a lot of visual gags along the way. So many things about this movie works, and if a Best Original Song Oscar is supposed to convey, you know, what, you know, a song in a movie that encapsulates the movie, then Everything Is Awesome needs to win the Oscar next year, because that's exactly what this movie is. Everything is awesome, and we've hinted at the third act of this film. I did not expect to be so emotionally moved by the end of this movie. That part snuck on me the most. I think it's an incredibly great message for kids and adults. I love the fact that the movie is sort of making a point about kids and instructions, because when I was a kid, the first thing I didn't do was look at the instructions for any game or any building set. I just started building or just started, you know, playing the game. I never looked at instructions. So I think that's a great message for kids. So many in-jokes. So just everything in this movie works so well. I love this movie unreservedly. It's one of the best films. It will be one of the best films of the year. It certainly is right now.
I don't even have to say this movie. I texted you guys after I saw it. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I cannot remember the last time a movie blindsided me like this. I mean, I swear to God, I didn't expect anything from this movie. It's got the Lego movie, and it's coming out in February. Come on.
Yep.
Absolutely one of the best movies that I've seen in a long time, and absolutely is probably going to end up on my top 10 list at the end of the year. I echo everything that you guys said. This movie is unbelievably entertaining, unbelievably funny, and if you're going to take your kids, don't drop them off. Go in and watch it, because this is one of the best animated movies in years, and one of the most enjoyable film experiences I've had in a really, really long time. I just, it is nothing. This movie is for me nothing but joy. It's just, it's absolute pure joy. And from the opening frame to the ending, I was never more than thrilled to be watching this movie. It is a phenomenal surprise, like a shocking surprise, how great this movie is. And honestly, you would have had to convince me, you know, that I would be including a movie called The Lego Movie on my top 10 list at the end of the year. Yeah, but that's exactly probably what's going to happen. It's a phenomenal movie, just incredibly entertaining, and I know kids will love it, adults will love it. I hope this thing makes $80 trillion. What did it do yesterday?
It did like $17 million yesterday. They're projecting around $60 million for the weekend. It's the second highest February opening of all time.
Yeah.
I think it's going to do over $200 million.
Well, I hope so. It deserves it. Yeah. It really does. And this is a movie that you know, I can't wait to see again. And I know I missed some jokes. There's no question about it. I've only seen it. Have you only seen it just one time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've only seen it one time, but there will be multiple viewings of this film. There's just no question about it. It's a great movie and the biggest surprise so far this year. I don't think there'll be a bigger surprise all year.
It's a true family experience.
Yep.
You don't even need kids to go see this movie.
No.
I mean, anyone who ever put together a Lego set is going to find something. Anyone who's played any of the Lego video games is going to find something interesting in this movie.
Yeah.
Something hilarious. But if you have kids, and, you know, go take them.
Yeah.
Or let them take you. I don't care what the order goes.
Yeah.
Just go.
It's great. It's absolutely great. So three raves for the Lego movie, and it's just phenomenal stuff. It's just great. All right, what do we got next week?
It's 80s remake week.
Oh, that's right.
We got RoboCop. We got About Last Night. We got Endless Love.
Wow.
And we got this Winter's Tale thing with Colin Farrell.
Yeah. I'm interested in that. Well, because
that's the movie I'm most interested in.
Yeah, I'm interested. Well, I mean, the other ones are stupid remakes,
right?
So, yeah, wow, that's really odd. All three of those are opening in one day.
Yeah,
that's crazy. All right, well, you guys, thanks for hanging out, and we'll talk to you next week. Okay,
sounds good.
All right, there you go. There's Eric and Colin, and they are. Wait a minute, hold it. There we go. There we go. We'll talk to them again next week.